Many years ago, when he was alive, Johnny Hart, the cartoonist of BC, which was a caveman strip, cartoon strip, he had a comic strip on a Sunday morning. It was a Sunday morning one, so therefore it was a much longer one as opposed to the daily ones, which were only three panels. And in this strip, this caveman is climbing up to the mountains, and he's seeking out this guru, and there's this bearded guru at the summit of the mountain. He says, "Tell me, oh great guru, what does the future hold?" And then the guru says things like, "Nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes and famines and fearful events and great signs from heaven." And the caveman says, "How do you know such things?" And the guru holds up a Bible and he says, "No one escapes the Gideons." Well, we're going to talk right now about the Gideons. And the person you just heard on the other line is Jeff Pack, who's an author of a fantastic new book. It's beautiful to hold. This is a coffee table book and more. It's called Witness to History. The subtitle is The Story of the Gideons International. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And I'm glad to have you on, Jeff. Thank you so much for writing this book, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jerry, and welcome from Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. All right, so tell me, for those not familiar, you know, with the Gideons, basically this is a Bible distribution organization, the biggest in the world, I imagine, and you're about 2 billion strong now, right?
Yeah, 2 billion scriptures distributed. And we're Association of Christian Business and Professional Men, and we're here for service, for personal testimony, and for personal work, and placing, of course, the Bible, which we're known for.
Yeah. Okay. And there are about 2 billion copies of the whole Bible or just the New Testament have been placed all over the world. Is that right? In all the different countries, just about?
That's correct. In 200 countries, we've had 2.4 billion scriptures distributed since we started in distributing scriptures in 1908.
Okay. How did the Gideons begin?
The Gideons began with traveling salesmen. They were go out on a Sunday night on a train and come back on a Friday night. And during that time, there was little accountability amongst the salesmen at the time. So several of them met up, and they were all salesmen, and they said, there's got to be a better way to have accountability amongst ourselves. So this is in 1899, right at the turn of the century, that they started. And as an association, and they would meet in the various cities, meet in the various churches. Some of the churches even had pews reserved for the Gideons. And it wasn't until 1908 that they decided, okay, we're in these hotels. There should be a Bible in every one of these rooms. And that's when they started with the hotels, went on to jails, hospitals, schools, military, colleges, and EMT workers, especially today.
Hmm. All right. And I know that there's been quite a bit of pushback. In fact, 30, 40 years ago, you could not go to a hotel room virtually without finding a Bible. Now I find, especially with the more posh ones or, you know, the more up-to-date or hip or whatever, you almost have to ask for a Gideon Bible in some of the hotels. And there's other hotels where, thankfully, they still have them.
Yes, you get a little bit, but more and more we see them in there. Just a little bit of rebuff, but it's mainly, like you say, people will ask for them. It's become more service to the hotels to make sure that they have those Bibles placed in the rooms. And, you know, as we always said, we've been doing this for 120 years. Everything has changed, but nothing is different. People still need Jesus, and this is one way that we can address that.
Yeah. I understand that through the years, there have been suicides prevented because of a Gideon Bible in the hotel. Can you give us a story or two?
Sure, absolutely. One of the ones that come to mind is there was a boy growing up in Delhi, India, in the 1960s, and it's a very unhappy relationship with his father. Then his best friend took his life, and so this young man reached a point where he decided that, well, life is meaningless and nothing's worth living. So at 17, he attempted suicide. Luckily, he missed and ended up in a hospital next to a Gideon Bible, a Gideon-placed Bible, and started reading it and found the answers he'd been seeking all his life. And that young gentleman was Rabbi Zacharias.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's a great story. Tell us another story.
Sure, they go on and on. Maybe another pastor story is there was a young man named Craig, went to college in Oklahoma City, joined a fraternity, got in a whole lot of trouble, and at the risk of putting his fraternity getting kicked off campus, he said, "Hey, I'm going to change our image. We're going to have a Bible study in his fraternity house." Only problem, he didn't have a Bible. So he was walking across campus one day, and there were the Gideons distributing the scriptures on the campus. Craig took one. He didn't know what a Gideon was, but as far as he's concerned, he had his New Testament, and he started in that little party room of the frat house and built and built and built his church. Craig was Craig Groeschel of the Life Church, which now has 30,000 members across the United States. So one Bible, as you know, Isaiah 55:11 tells us, God's word does not go void.
Yeah. Wow. And here's one that I didn't see in the book, but this is somebody that I've met personally, and Gideon's was directly related to him. The son of Sam, David Berkowitz, was convicted, rightfully so. In fact, he should have been executed. The first thing he tells you if you do an interview with him is that he should have been executed for the Son of Sam murders that he was party to in the 70s, 1970s. And what ended up happening was he was in Attica prison, and a prisoner slashed his throat. Well, another man, an Hispanic inmate, tried to give him a little Gideon's Bible, New Testament, with Proverbs and Psalms in the back. And he said, No, I don't want this. I'm Jewish. And he said, well, why don't you read the last two books, the Psalms and the Proverbs? They're written by Jews, David and Solomon. And so David Berkowitz accepted it, started reading it, and something in Psalm 34 just grabbed his heart, and he got converted. And that was in 1987. And he has been a consistent professing Christian and, chaplain's assistant and so forth. And a lot of people testify to, they think his conversion is real, but it gets back to the Gideons. Again, that's the son of Sam we're talking about. I personally interviewed him about 11 years after that incident, and I think he's genuinely converted.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we've done a blog story on him. And absolutely, thank you for sharing that. It was great. That was a great testimony.
How about another story?
Okay, one more. Well, we're on radio, so let's do a little music one maybe. This is actually my favorite one. And back in the 60s, there was a rock and roll musician named Tommy, had big hits on the radio, but he also had big drinking problem, went from town to town trying to come up with the next big hit. And one night he's in a hotel room. He's bored, he's drinking, and he finds a Gideon Bible. Now, Tommy is also into UFOs at the time, and he opens up that Gideon Place Bible to Ezekiel. So now he's reading all about wheels in the sky, chariots, blue crystals, and he felt that was God really talking to him. But he closed it and went to the next city and the next hotel room, and he found another Gideon Bible. Now he thinks they're following him. So that night, Tommy got down on his knees and asked Jesus to come in his life, surrender to a separated life, and he wrote a song about it. Tommy is Tommy James and the Shondells, and the song, if you remember, is Crystal Blue Persuasion.
And that's related to the Gideon's Bible? I never knew that.
If you go back and listen to Crystal Blue Persuasion, that's Tommy's coming to Jesus story.
Wow. I had no idea. Now, speaking of 60s and the music, here's a quote from the Beatles from 1968. And Rocky Raccoon checked into his room only to find Gideon's Bible. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That's from the Beatles, and Paul McCartney of the Beatles had seen a Bible in every hotel room he'd ever stayed in. He said, you open up the drawer, and there it is. And he wondered, who's this guy Gideon? So he wrote a little fictional story about Gideon, although we all know it comes from Judges 7.
Yeah, well, why the connection? I mean, why Gideon? I mean, of all the people that this could have been named after, I'm just curious. Where do they? How do they settle on
why,
that? Why did why the name Gideon for the Gideon's International?
Absolutely. Yeah, they were trying to come up with a name back when they were started in 1899. And they couldn't figure out, names are too long, Traveling Salesman Association of America. And so one of the gentlemen in prayer raised his head and said, you know, Gideon in Judges 7, because God ordered his servant to winnow down his army to just a few fighters who, because of their faith, scatter the enemy. And that's reference to the minority status of Christians in business, you know, practicing, you know, their faith.
Huh. Okay. So, and explain how Gideon's work. It's all voluntary, right? Just explain, probably a lot of things people don't know about it. And you personally have been a Gideon and are a Gideon and have been for a while, I understand.
Yes, for quite a long time. The Gideons, there's about 250,000 of us across 200 countries in the world. The unique thing about the Gideons is our members minister where they live, so you can't kick us out of a country. So as you become a Gideon, which is a business or professional man, believer of Jesus Christ, and also sponsored by, you know, the pastor, your local pastor, we basically distribute the Bibles, for instance, and by camps, by groups. You know, like in Nashville, there's several groups, and each group will know the hotels in their area. So they'll visit them once a year to see, you know, which ones actually need additional Bibles. They'll visit the schools where they're able to pass out the small New Testaments, pass out scriptures at colleges, to EMTs right now, nursing staff in hospitals where they more or less have to drop them off right now. So that's what they're doing. And they meet each Saturday for prayer. And pray for the pastors in their particular area and just pray for the needs, whatever they might be in that particular community. So in, you know, United States, we're, you know, we're in big cities and in small cities all across the states.
Now, we all know the stories, and this is the kind of the negative side of this, you know, where let's say somebody goes into a prison after the distribution or whatever, and you might see in the garbage can, you look in the garbage can, and there's a few of the Gideons. Oh, the Gideons have been here. Somebody was telling me she's married to somebody from Cuba, and she said, unfortunately, you know, Fidel Castro, they would take some of those Gideon Bibles, or, you know, it might not even have been Gideon Bibles as well, but taking them and then, you know, breaking them up and using them as toilet paper or whatever. So in other words, the negative side. So what is the Gideon's response if people say, oh, how wasteful, you're giving these out and some of the people don't even want them?
Sure. Again, you just trust in Isaiah 55 that God's word is going to get through somewhere. We do get opposition. Sometimes there's hostility, but these days, pick a subject. And as we go through, you know, we usually try to recycle as much as we can. We always go into a country legally. So we're in Cuba through different countries. You know, we can't obviously go there as USA, but other countries that can get in there help service Cuba. So it's, we're going to get opposition, but it is a very hostile world, as we know. But as we approach everything with compassion, you know, and not anger, that's the hardest part of being a Christian right now. So if, you know, where we can recycle them, we will, if they're thrown out. But, you know, God's word's going to keep marching forward.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have 30 seconds left. What else do you want to say about the Gideons that hasn't been said that we need to say?
That's it. And I think I appreciate you adding a story to it. You know, we can get a scripture into the hands of someone who needs it the most, along with someone to explain it. And as I always say, if we weren't a ministry, we'd be a logistics company when it absolutely positively needs to be there. Hmm. God's word.
Gideons.org for more information. Jeff Pack has been our guest. Again, the name of the book is Witness to History, The Story of the Gideons International. What a cool book. Hey, thanks so much. Oh, and by the way, it's got an index, too. Thank you so much, Jeff. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right, appreciate
it. Appreciate your time.
You too. Bye-bye.